Your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Not going to get into the context too much. I want to deal with the subject a little bit tonight. And it'll sound a little bit political to you, and it is in some ways you could call it that. Some don't understand about the Bible where it comes down on this thing of types of government that are talked about in the news, and especially in the news. I caught a little bit of Glenn Beck a while ago while I was getting ready to come, and he was doing it up big and basically correct on the subject. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on socialism, so you understand about it. You hear these words. You ought to know what humanism means. You ought to know what socialism means. You ought to know what Marxism means. You ought to know some of those things. In the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost has come, and Peter has preached, and ultimately 3,000 that have gladly received the word have gotten saved. And if you were to pick it up with me in about verse 44 of chapter 2 of Acts, I'm leaving the context now to get you to see one thing that's kind of used against us as Christians. Says, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want you to understand that verses 44, 45, and then if you jumped over to chapter 4 and picked it up in verse 32, you'd see pretty much the same thing. It says, and the multitudes of them that believed, this was the believers now, were one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, there's a lot of debate on what type of government is right. We recognize in America today that the old-fashioned American government that we've known, studied about, grew up with is undergoing great, great change today, and for the worse. Now, it is the best government that we've grown up for as man can put together in America with all of its problems, but it's still based basically on the freedom of man. And that freedom, even as our Declaration of Independence speaks of, that we have unalienable rights, and those rights come from God. Amen. And that's where the big debate is right now. The liberal, socialistic, anti-God movement don't want to recognize that our rights and our freedoms are placed in our heart by God. They're granted by God, our Creator. And they don't like that. But our government is based on freedom. Now, the text that I read is used by the communists because it says they had all things common. Now, Karl Marx used this to kick off Marxism as we know it today. And in reality, communism is bad. It's a hoax. It's enslaved people. It's killed people like probably no other form of government has across this planet. But it's a lie. I think about the little kid in a Marxist classroom in communist Russia. Teacher was teaching and asking questions, and the little boy said, "Teacher said, you know that I know that Adam and Eve were communists." She said, "How do you know they were communists?" He said, "Well, think about it. They didn't have a house. They didn't have anything to wear." And they only had one apple between them, and they called it paradise. Now, you have to think on that just a minute. Yeah, it wasn't an apple, by the way, I don't think. But anyway, for the sake of the story. But it's a hoax. In other words, what the kids saw was what they are calling it good when it was bad. And we'd understand that. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit on socialism, just a little bit. First, I want to tell you why communism doesn't work. Is because it don't work because of the depravity of man, of nature. And even after you're saved, you're still living in a depraved body. At the flesh will not function under communism. I mean, it'll exist, but it'll not thrive. I'll show you, for instance, here's the early church. Now, 3,000 got saved that day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that there was at least 500 brethren, he called them brethren, that had seen the Lord in person after the resurrection. So what you have there is you have a pretty good crowd of people. Maybe they were expecting the Lord to return very soon, and they thought we'd just get together, we'll do this, we'll share alike. You know how long that lasted? Not very long. Look over in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, and the very first verses, you start off with a problem. What's the problem? Problem is that people are depraved. Here it is. And verse 1 of chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, pretty good crowd now, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, here's why we really had the first deacons called, because the apostles said it's not right for us to leave the word of God and serve tables, and so deacons became servants here. But what was the problem? Somebody thought they were getting mistreated. My widow didn't get as much as your widow did. And so that's why communism don't work. It just won't work. Two little kids were riding a tricycle. One of them was pedaling and one of them was on the back kicking along. You ever remember that? Tricycle. One of them was overheard to say, if one of us would get off, I could ride this thing better. Now, you know what that means? It means self, me first. And whether you like it or not, you may be the most unselfish person I've ever met, but there's a nature about us, a fallen nature, that says, I want more than the other guy. That's why communism won't work. Or it says, I want what I earn, and if he won't work, I'm not going to work and pay for me and him both. That's why it won't work. That's just human nature. And somebody said that if you want your daddy to take care of you, that's paternalism. If you want your mother to take care of you, that's, what is it? Not materialism. It is that, but it's that's. Maternalism, I get it right there. If you want the government to take care of you, that's socialism. If you want to take care of yourself, that's Americanism. Amen. And that's where I want to stand, amen? That's where I want to stand. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, and this is not going to be all that exciting, but something you ought to know. Think of Marxism as a tree trunk. Let me be standing here as the tree trunk. Now, it's got various forms of Marxism. It's got branches on it. Socialism, branch. Communism, a branch. Leninism, a branch. Systems that Castro uses in Cuba, that Chavez uses, and that was used in Russia under from Stalin and Lenin and Khrushchev and the whole crowd over there. I've been over there. I've seen that it did not breed a spirit in people. It breeded defeat. And I was so badly impressed that people walked around like zombies. And they told me this when I saw the work that was supposed to be done. You see a crew standing out there on the road, and the road needed patching. And maybe they're just standing there on the shovels, not doing anything. Just an attitude of not doing anything. And I said, what's the matter? And they said, well, they pretend to pay us, and we pretend to work. That's zombieism, brother. I mean, that's no interest, because no matter how hard I work, I don't take any more home, and all they're giving me is just barely enough to exist. Socialism. I think it was Winston Churchill, that made the statement, and it's been quoted quite a bit lately, but Churchill made the statement that socialism would only work in two places. He said, one place is heaven, where it's not needed, and hell, where it's already at. Now, the old Englishman had it right. He had it right there. Now, Socialism is defined, and this is kind of what I want to get on with tonight, as government ownership and control of the means of production and distribution. It's the big brother government. It's taking care of you from the cradle to the grave. And the depravity of man says, I like it because I'm going to get something for nothing. And, you know, all con men work off of the thing of hooking you that you're going to get a bargain. You're going to get something you didn't deserve. You're going to get something for nothing. And that's why suckers answer the telephone and wind up with the bank accounts empty. Amen. Amen. Some of them pretty slick, but you better watch it. Anytime it sounds like it's too good to be true, you're right. It is too good to be true. Better watch out for that. Now, what happens, though, is the government takes care of you, then it controls you. That's the way it works. That's not freedom. It's the opposite. It's slavery. Now, if you want total security, I mean, if you want three meals a day, and you want the protection where nobody can get through to hurt you, this is not quite true now, but the analogy, if you want that kind of security, go get in jail. It'll cost you your freedom, but they'll feed you. Amen? We don't want that. As free Americans, we don't want that, of course. But socialism is putting us all in jail, feeding us bread and water to keep us alive, and freedom is the price we pay for it. Now, we're seeing our leadership do that to this country today. All right, how do you recognize socialism? Here it is. When the government seizes huge portions of the industry. I mean, if you have a big car company like General Motors, and it's taken over by government. Federal control of the financial institutions, banks. Been hearing any of that in the news? Health care. How about that one? That's Big Brother on the march. That's what's going on. Senator Jim DeMint wrote a book called Saving Freedom. I haven't read it, but I read a quote or two from it. He said, America's clearly sliding towards socialism. Brother, it's snowballing that way. He said, and he gives some stats. I've got some here I want to read you. Government is now the nation's largest property owner. Nearly one-third of the land mass belongs to the government. It owns over one-third of the profits of all businesses and more than one-third of the incomes of most working Americans. Already, a third of a working man's income winds up one way or the other to the government. That's bad, folks. Government's been for a long time controlling the majority of education and health care services, now added to that for sure. Somebody was passing me information this week where some of the public school teachers had gotten a memo worded that we got to be real careful we don't mention God. Some schools now will not say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's got under God in it. And some are saying it without under God. You see, Big Brother don't like God. Big Brother wants to be God. And he wants the people looking to him instead of God. That's what it really boils down to. Now, you recognize socialism when the government seizes industry, when the government racks up colossal debt. I mean, we're up into the unbelievable figures of debt that this country cannot imagine. Say, what does that matter to us? Well, it obligates us to pay it off. If you bought a car and you signed a contract, you're going to pay it off in 3 years, so much a month, or 5 years, so much a month. You'd understand that contract, wouldn't you? Do you understand the government's putting us on the contract to pay the rest of our lives, our kids to pay the rest of their lives, and their kids to pay the rest of their lives because they put us that deep in debt? Now, can you kind of get a little thought on that? It's kind of hard to do. But it's obligating the taxpayers to an unimaginable taxation as far down the road as you can imagine. Do you understand now? I'm reading another one of his stats here. The average American family now owes $455,000 You say, boy, I'm out of debt. You think so? 455,000. He says the average income in America is about 48,000 a year, so they've got a pretty big debt facing them right now. Now, here's the problem, and it's biblical answers to these things, biblical truths. Proverbs 22:7 tells us the borrower is servant to the lender. That means the man that loans you the money has got the control there. You say, well, I got a mortgage on my house. Well, if you don't pay it, you lose it. I got payments on my car. Well, if you don't pay them, you lose it. And we're losing the country because we can't make the payments on it anymore. Now, you recognize socialism when they don't want to be exposed. When the government pushes the so-called fairness doctrine, that's to keep folks from telling what I'm telling tonight. To upset the population, so to speak. You recognize it again when the Constitution is ignored and the controls and governors placed in the Constitution, the restraints, if you please, on the growth of government is no longer observed. In fact, it's purposely distorted and ignored. That famous conservative lady recently said, Nancy Pelosi, somebody recently asked her about the health care bill, is it constitutional? And she just laughed. Well, it is a joke. Of course it's not constitutional. It's socialism taking over and ripping off the taxpayer right on down into if the Lord didn't come, and of course he is our hope and we understand that, but right on down the road far as you can see. And here's the sad part. Hardly any nation's ever recovered that went down that road. Now, the success Russia's having right now in China is because they have come back a little bit, granted freedom for free enterprise in certain areas, and that has helped them. But they destroyed themselves. When Ronald Reagan was president and he went over and called for the wall to be torn down, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. You know why he tore it down? Because financially America was strong enough they could not keep up with us. And so the best thing they could do, and we called it the fall of communism. It did undergo a change, but if you've watched the news, you know it's coming back to life big time, and it is alive. But they couldn't keep pace with what? With the free enterprise of Americans. That's what they couldn't keep pace with. General Ike Eisenhower, World War II. Some of you veterans remember some of this. Over in France, when our tanks were running against the hedgerows and the Germans were set there, and as the tank would try to come up over the hedgerow, it couldn't do it. It was a natural barrier. And the enemy could shoot under the bottom of the tank and destroy it. And Americans were being killed by the thousands in that battle. The Marines were trying to go through there, and the Germans already had it set up, and it was a bad deal for us. And the high brass, Eisenhower and Washington and all of them, were trying to say, what are we going to do? What's the answer to this? And I heard Eisenhower say this. He said, we turned the problem over to the GIs. We said, fellas, have y'all got any ideas? You're the ones in the tank. You're the soldiers on the ground. You got any ideas? And here's what he said. He said, good old American know-how took over. And he said those farm boys and workers said they brought those tanks back. They got out the welding equipment and said they put like rakes on the front of them. And they went there and raked that hedge right out of the way like a bulldozer, a big tractor like they do on the farm, and went right on in there and wiped out the Germans. Amen. He said the high brass didn't come up with that idea. He said the GIs. He said the man on the ground, the American know-how. And that's what's made our country great, is that kind of a spirit. And that's what brought communism down under some of the best leadership we've ever had. But we're sure to mess with it now. And here's some facts about socialism. Socialism has repeatedly proven a failure. You don't believe it, look at Cuba. You don't have to go far to see it. It's been a failure. The old Soviet Union failed from it. But in the meantime, good people hurt so bad from that system. Now, socialism contradicts man's God-given nature. Now, here's what I want to say about that. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. That was what Paul said. Now, that's free enterprise. That's paying my own way. That's not looking for mama or daddy or government or anybody else to take care of me. And I want to say to you, a lot of you young people and you college students, if you don't get a hold of that, you'll never be a success for God in whatever you do. Whether you pastor, whether you go as a missionary, or whatever else, you better quit looking for somebody else as a crutch. And some of you young people coming in, if this is the first time you've left mom and daddy, I want to shock you and tell you, you have left them. They are not here. Do not look for them. They will not prop you up. And if I catch you limping around with a crutch and you're not crippled, I'll kick it out among you. I'm telling you, I want you to be men and women that stand on your own two feet and look to God first and you second to take care of yourself. Amen and amen. Because we don't want any socialistic students here. Or communistic either. Amen. And there's only about that much difference between the two, by the way. But socialism proves to be a failure. God's plan is for man to work. What did he tell Adam in the garden? Didn't he tell him, you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your face? And we quote that wrong sometime. Sweat of your brow. No. Some of you can get a brow sweat working at a computer. That's not much sweat. But you get out there and dig your plumbing line ditch in this Florida weather, and it'll be more than your brow sweating. Your face will start dripping after a while. And that's what God told Adam in the garden, sweat of his face. And I'm not making it tough. That's what God said. And that's part of this old world and part of this old fallen nature. But socialism contradicts man's God-given nature to earn his own way. By the way, you start off in the Bible and you start off with farmers. You start off with Cain and Abel. I mean, Cain rose up and killed Abel in the field, but what were they? They were farmers, if you please. They were planting. And God intended for man to do that, to till the soil. And that was his plan. We've come now down to a day where, and this happened under communism, and I was over there in a couple of times. I remember riding the train down the track and where, you know, they build up the high part for the rails to be, and looking out the window and seeing on those banks out in the wilderness, so to speak, you'd see a little farmhouse somewhere back in there, and you'd see a garden, vegetable garden, planted on the side of the tracks. And so I began to ask questions about that. And so the Russian Christians told me, for lack of a better word, it would be a bootleg garden, an illegal garden, because it was under communism. At times, most of the time, they could not plant their own garden. They were on collective farms. Everybody planted together. The government got the harvest, and then they gave the workers a little bit. And that didn't work. They liked to starve to death on it. Men would slip out at night and plant a garden on that railroad track so it wouldn't be on their property. Then they had to harvest it at night. And I said, well, don't the officials know? Said, well, sure, but many of them, the local officials, turn their back, don't prosecute, or maybe even slip in and harvest the garden themselves. But you see, you can't imagine that. You've got the right, if you want to go in your backyard and plant a garden. In World War II, they had what they called victory gardens. They actually planted them on little plots of land and then in the buckets of soil, and some even on flat roofs done things like that. And that was, again, the American way. Take care of yourself, the ingenuity of doing it. And now we've come to a place to where communism control the planting or lack of planting. They wouldn't even let them have the seed. The government owned the seed. Can you imagine that? Well, you better imagine it, because it's being discussed in America right now. Do you understand that right now they're trying in the laboratories to produce crops, vegetables, fruits, that will not have reproducing seeds within them. I remember as a kid on the farm where my uncle would take some of the crops and he would lay them out on the table and he'd harvest the seeds and replant the seeds. But that is illegal in some areas now where at least one company is claiming that you bought seed from me, so you can't take the seed out of the crop you raised. And there is a court case going on. Do you understand if we're heading for the tribulation period, and we are very fast, do you understand that socialism now is leading us into the government of the Antichrist? Do you understand under that control you will not be able to buy or sell or plant or harvest without the official government approval number, if you please? Now, that stuff's going on right now. This fight over the seed thing, you're gonna get it in the news. You're not getting much of it yet, but you're going to get it in the news. Now, socialism, you say, why under communism? Why under all of that, socialism leading to communism, why did they kill so many people? Because by the very nature of man, we want to be free. Amen. Do you ever see some of these third world countries? Now, America had the revolution against England, and we got our freedom. Then we had the Northern aggression and the Civil War, but other than that, all right, leave that alone a minute. We don't want to start that again. But as a whole, America has not had one revolution after another. I'm talking about shooting revolutions. Mexico has. Many other nations have. A dictator rises, some of them better than others, but almost all of them bad. And the common man is in a struggle just to feed his family. And burning within his heart is a desire to be free. And it's that desire of freedom that he chooses a champion, and a revolution comes again. And even if they win the revolution, it's not very long that that champion becomes as bad as the one they displaced. Check it out in Cuba, anywhere else you want to. That's the way it works. So when God raised up our forefathers and helped them to see that man wanted to be free, do you understand what our government's supposed to be doing for us? It's not supposed to be feeding us. It's not supposed to be buying us all a new car. It's not supposed to be giving us everything. It's supposed to be giving us the freedom to earn our way. That's the freedom it's supposed to be giving us. I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, a wise government is one that will restrain men from injuring one another. That means the strong over the weak, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. He said, this is the sum of good government. Now, do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, while you're planting your garden, the government gives you the right of protection from a big bully that might come in and steal it from you. And that's government's role. Not to tell you you can't or you can, or to take part of your garden after you plant it. But what we've got going on now in our country is the stealing, if you please. The commandment says, thou shalt not steal. But what we got going on now is stealing the private property from the citizen through taxation, through rules and regulations. We're fixing to have to tear down the old AM station building out there. And we're trying to get our ducks in a row to start. Found out yesterday, though, they notified us we had to have a demolition permit. Now, I'm sick of permits. I'm sick of Big Brother government. And I'll have to fill out the blanks tomorrow. I think I'm going to write in the blanks. Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Goofy. That's just what I think of them. Another cotton-picking business. We own the building. We're going to do it ourselves. They don't have a dime invested, but they're going to get some money out of us. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And it reaches into everybody's pocket, one way or the other. Truth is, the Bible teaches private ownership. If you were to look over in Matthew chapter 20, you'd find where the Lord gave the story of the man that hired folks early in the morning, kept hiring them through the day. Remember the story? I'm not going to have time to read it. The Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man in the household that went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. He agreed to pay the first ones he hired a penny. Later on, he hired some more for a penny. And later on, he hired some more. And finally, it got to the last hour of the day, and he hired some more. And he paid them all a penny. Well, guess what? The depraved nature of man, the first group griped. Why, we've been here in the heat of the day. And this last group's only labored an hour, and you gave them the same amount that you gave us for the whole day. Now, that sounds unfair. But the key to that thing is that the Lord taught, here's what the master said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? You got that? In thine eye, is thine eye evil because I'm good? Because I got gracious with the last group? That's none of your business. You agreed with me for a penny. You got what you agreed for. So don't criticize me that I got gracious with the last group. He said it was mine. You remember the story in Acts? Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some property, come in, lied about it. God killed them, remember? But if you read that close, you'll find Peter said it was yours to do what you wanted to with. You didn't have to lie about it. It was yours. You didn't have to give it. But they got in trouble not because they didn't give, but because they lied to the Holy Ghost of God. That's what happened. Now, socialism always leads to violence because in the heart of man, there's always somebody going to rebel and somebody's going to get killed. That's why you have 20 million people killed over there by Mao. That's why you had 40 million, 20 million by Stalin, 40 million by Mao in China. You see, people are going to rise up about that. And they treat them because they're not going. They don't think they got the answer to God. There's no morals involved, so they just murder them off. Just murder them off. Now, the truth is that socialism bankrupts a country. It steals the property. It steals the freedom. It steals the right. And that's what we're seeing happen. Now, what's the best form of government? Until Jesus gets here, what we call a democracy, and we started off as a republic, and there's a big difference between the mob rule of democracy and the republic that we first was formed. When we pledge that flag over there, we pledge to the republic for which it stands. And we've lost that truth about that. But the thing is that if you've got a good dictator, and you read any fairy tales about a good king or a bad king, you got story in the Bible, very similar to what's going on right now. You got the story of Pharaoh, Joseph and Pharaoh, remember? Yep. Remember he come out of the dungeon and saved the kingdom of Egypt, interpreting Pharaoh's dream about the seven lean cow and the seven fat cows, or kine as it's called in the scripture. And Joseph told him what was going to happen. Seven of these lean cows ate up the fat cows, and they were no fatter after they eat them up. That was the dream. And Joseph said, a famine's coming. He told Pharaoh what to do. God used Joseph to save the kingdom of Egypt. And so they stored up the grain so the people were able to eat during the famine. But that Pharaoh was a good Pharaoh. You read a little further, and it says a Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. And so, far as forms of government go, if you got a good dictator, not so bad. But there's very few of them. There's been very few of them in history. Total power generally corrupts totally, somebody said. But I got good news. We do have a dictator coming. Amen. That's a good one that'll never change. And a government that's going to be set up that'll never end. And that's his government. In the meantime, what you see happening today is happening so fast and is so scary. And yes, it will affect our service to the Lord. If they're devaluing the money or whatever else they're going to do. And by the way, it is happening. It is going to happen. If you've been down to the store and you paid $5 for something, and a few weeks later you went back and it was $10, I can name some items that that's happened to. And some of you ladies certainly could. I remember preaching a sermon like 30 years ago. And I was preaching one of my predictions. And I said, at that time that I said that, new cars were selling for $5,000 or $6,000. And I said, in 20 years, this car will be costing $12,000. Boy, was I wrong. Cost $40,000. I said, you'll go to the grocery store now, and for $20 you can fill up the back trunk with groceries. But in 20 years you can fill up the glove compartment with $20 worth. And I didn't miss it far. That's where we have come to. Now the groceries hadn't changed, the cars changed some, but the truth of the matter is the money became devalued. It's worth less. That's the whole truth of it. Now, what are we Christians supposed to do? There's no answer. There's no answer in politics. Some of them are good and some of them are bad, but the trend keeps going bad. Keeps going bad. I praise God every time there's a little victory, and once in a while there is, but it's a drop in the ocean. The flood just keeps going the wrong way. So what's the answer? The answer's not in politics. The answer's not in going out and investing in something, because it's all going to go down. I've been accused by some of saying that, well, for business reasons and mortgage reasons, and one of the good tools of the government that I know I'm on the internet tonight, so I'll probably get something over this, but our church is incorporated. We incorporated on purpose because of a suing experience I had on a bus accident many years ago. An incorporation by the government is voluntary, it's not mandatory. It's a tool, like I'd rather ride on that pavement out there in my car than on the dirt. So I use the pavement when I go somewhere. The tool of incorporation allows us, as a church is an incorporation naturally. But for banks and for lawyers, if you're not legally incorporated and they sue you, they can sue the preacher individually, they can sue every deacon individually, and they can sue you as a church member individually. So it is a tool of protection. Not mandatory, but we use it. So preachers, some of them argue with me. The ones that argue with me are generally the ones that's got a little church somewhere, maybe no mortgage on it, 75 or 100 people at the most, and they hadn't been sued yet. They say what it takes in Washington to make a conservative out of a liberal is the liberal hadn't been mugged yet. And that's exactly the way I apply it to that situation. Wait till you face the court and find out if you'd have been incorporated, they couldn't have sued you individually. So I use that. I use that as a tool. And I've been told, well, that's the tool of the Antichrist. Everything you touch is going to be a tool of the Antichrist when he gets here. You better not be here when he gets here. You're already using his computer. So help me, what do you think he's going to put the mark on folks with? Amen. So he's going to use everything. And I've had some of them say, well, if he gets here, I said, number one, he didn't have it all when he gets here because I'm going to be gone. But then number two, you think he's going to ride down the street and see a church sitting here and a church sitting there? And he's going to say, I didn't take that one because it's incorporated. I can't take this one because it's not. Who are you kidding? When he shuts down one, he'll shut them all down. So don't get off on that mess. Use the road. It's better than the driving on the dirt. Amen. Use the comforts that God has allowed this nation to have as long as they last. And just be ready to go when the trumpet sounds. Fight for truth, stand for property rights, stand against evil government, speak up when we can, do all we can, but know in the long run it's like arranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. When the thing goes down, it's all going down. And the truth of the matter is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to be your benevolent dictator, your benevolent president. Scripture says He's the King of Kings. Amen. So nobody that He's not over. Amen. Amen. So don't, in the midst of it, and I know you hear Glenn Beck, you hear Riley, you hear some of them, it's getting some of the truth out there, not all of it, but some of it, and it gets to be kind of depressing. But we're not looking on this level. We're looking that way.
Amen.
And so that's the answer. So let's be encouraged and keep on charging hell and getting every soul saved we can to keep them out of there. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. All right, let's stand.